I hear this phrase a lot, something, something gone wrong. But it bothers me when it's used in a way where no matter what, it's gone wrong. For instance, oh, he was involved in a mugging gone wrong. That's why he's dead. But I say gone wrong for whom? Because I think that if I'm the one being mugged, every scenario, it's gone wrong. Like, I'm not going to come home and be like, so I lost all our cash. I know I just pulled all our cash out to start the new business. I knew I shouldn't have walked around with $20,000 cash through back alleys. I just didn't want to be out in public because I was worried somebody would steal it. Anyway, I got mugged. But at least it wasn't a mugging gone wrong. Right? I get it. Mugging gone wrong means you were probably killed when you could have just been robbed. But for the mugger, that's what I'm saying is clarify it. For the mugger, a mugging gone wrong is different than a mugging gone right. Like, yeah, I just meant to mug the guy. Next thing I know, his entire family was dead. That was a mugging that had gone wrong. But for the muggy, is that a word? It should be. That's what I'm going to be for next Halloween. What are you going to be? I'm going to be a muggy. People think I'm just homeless because I'll just rip my clothes and look all tattered, but or an unhoused person or whatever the fuck we're saying. Anyway, my point is, it's confusing when people say that. They should clarify for whom. Has it not gone wrong, or did it go wrong? Anyway. Hey, this is a podcast gone wrong. Nobody knows why we're here, what it all means, and I don't listen to people who say they do. But one of the theories is a simulation theory, and then one of the sub-theories is, what if this was just all a video game? What if I'm just a character being played by some other entity? Now, I'm going to say this right off the bat. My life, it ain't been so great. Which leads me to, if in fact this is a video game and I'm a character being played by somebody else, there's only two scenarios that I can imagine are true. One, you know how when you were a kid and you were playing your video games and your dad walked in and he wanted to bond with you. So he's like, hey, son, what are you playing? Street Fighter? Yeah, I'll sit down with you and play. And of course, he gets his ass kicked because he doesn't know what he's doing. He's just pressing a bunch of buttons and the kid's doing 10 move combinations. Anyway, whoever's running my life, I feel, is the dad who's trying to bond with his son. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. What? Oh, alcoholism. Yeah, whatever. What are you doing over there? Oh, you're playing this guy called Elon Musk? Holy shit, you're good at this game. Anyway, J. David Travenak, you take this. I don't know what. Now you're broke. Okay. Yeah. Oh, you've lost everything. Anyway, son, it was a great chat. I hope this David Dravnak. These are just pretend characters, right? They're not real. Oh, it's a. They are real. That's why there's the huge court case as to whether or not we should be just playing them like a game. Anywho, good to bond with you, son. I'll be outside fixing the spaceship if you want to come out. Because they're aliens, obviously. So that's scenario number one. Scenario number two, and I like this one a little better, is whoever's playing my life is so good. They've played this game so many times that it's just boring. And they're purposefully making it harder on themselves just to have a challenge. They're like Bobby Fischer when he sits down to play chess with somebody. And he decides, just to make it interesting, I'm going to take the queen and the, not the king. I'm going to take the queen off the board just to make things interesting. Maybe whoever's playing my life is doing that. Like, you know, I win this game every time. It's just not even fun. So what I'll do is I'll play it for a 50-year simulation where I just let it go to shit. Like, basically, I just put it on autopilot, let the computer make the decisions, which we all know, yeah, it's not going to make the best ones. Then I'll come back 50 years later, not in real time, but in simulation time, in Dave Dravenak's time, and we'll see how bad things got. Holy shit, they got bad. Well, all right. I've been pretty good at this game so far. Let's see if I could turn this shit around. I don't have a lot of time. Oh, looks like his lifespan's not going to be that long either because of all the shit that's gone wrong already. I think I can still do it. Let's go. And then me as the character. I hope that's the one. Because then there's hope that maybe my life could turn around. The other one, the father bonding with his son, I'm fucked. I'm right now just a controller sitting on a console, not even being played. Maybe one of the kid's friends will come in, take over. Like, oh, you were playing with your dad? Oh boy, did he fuck this up. Let me just see if I can fix this up a little bit. Tick, 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 tick. Well, who are you playing? Elon Musk? Well, I'm going to fuck your shit up. Let's go. Let's see if I can get David Dravenak to be better than Elon Musk. Oh, this is going to be a task. You got any pop? Yeah, I'm an alien, but we still say pop because we come from the Midwest of the planet. Okay, anyway. Hey, if you're the one who's playing just on a challenge, good job. That was a good podcast. Yeah, I can see things starting to turn around. Yeah. Yeah, if I could only find the button to turn off this goddamn... I learn a lot of stuff from television and movies, and one of the things I learned for sure is if you've been caught doing something wrong, you're doing drugs, you're rummaging through somebody's drawers or something like that, and you turn and you see that somebody's now caught you. You've been caught red-handed. Which, does that only apply to if you've committed murder and or slash maybe you're painting in a way that you're not supposed to? Like, oh, you're destroying the Mona Lisa. You've been caught red-handed. Anyway, if you've been caught and you ask, how long have you been standing there? They will always say, just long enough. Just long enough. I don't like it when movies and television force me to watch scenes where I already know the outcome. Like, now you're just wasting my time. For instance, one of the famous scenes you see in a lot of movies is there's some catastrophe the world is faced with. I don't know, asteroid headed for Earth. Some huge terrorist plot to destroy the world. And for some reason, even though the government has a lot of smart people, there's only one guy who can really solve this riddle. So the general, he shows up at the guy's house. He's given up whatever his specialty is, and he's decided to build a barn. But then what they make me do is they make me sit through the scene where, hey man, we really need you, the world needs you, and the guy goes, I'm out of the game, because of that tragedy where that girl died, where it wasn't really my fault, but I've been blaming myself forever, so I gave up on whatever my specialty is, and even though it would save the rest of humanity, I just don't want to. And they go back and forth, and eventually the colonel, general, whatever I called him earlier, says, okay, well, I tried. And as he starts to walk out, that's when the hero goes, wait. I'll do it. But only if you get rid of all my back taxes. Or said they insert something stupidly humorous right there. I'll do it, but only if you give me that bag of potato chips we bet on in 1952. Anyway, the entire scene's a waste of time. I would like to see the movie where they just continued with that storyline. Hero says, no, I'm out of the game. Remember the girl that died? It wasn't my fault. Anyway, I'm not doing it. I don't care about humanity. And the general leaves. And then we just see credits. Or we see that the little tag that says, 14 hours later, the world ended. And then credits, and it's the shortest movie ever, but it would be satisfying as hell. Because otherwise, we all fucking know in the theater that he's going to say yes, so why don't we just get to that? Because it's not conflict. You think it's conflict, like, ooh, this is going to be conflict. Will he say yes? Will he not say? He's going to say yes. We all know he's going to say yes. You know how we know? Because the movie's 3 hours long, and he's in the fucking cover of the DVD. Apparently those still exist in my world. But we know he's going to say yes, so it's not conflict. It's just wasting my goddamn time. And in a movie that's already 45 hours long, it's the longest superhero movie ever. We can trim some of the fat, is all I'm saying. In movies and television, you always see that scene where somebody walks into their apartment or house, and there's somebody waiting for them in the dark. Usually an assassin. Not always, but a lot of times, yeah. They turn on the light, the assassin swivels around in his swivel chair, and that's when you're regretting having bought a lazy bear boy that swivels. Anyway, he turns around and they always ask the dumbest question in every one of those scenarios, which is, how did you get in here? Because that's what's important right now. Like, the guy turns around, he's bald with the tie, you know, the classic hitman look. He's holding his silencer, and all you can think is, how did you get in here? I thought my security system was better. Would it make it better if the hitman then went through his process? Well, you see, you live on the 42nd floor of a very secure building, but I was able to grease the palms of the doorman with some Lakers tickets so that he could see LeBron James make his all-time most basketballs. Anyway, that's not important, but that's how I got up here. So, do you feel better now? Because now's the time where I murder you. Quite frankly, if I'm the person, I would be more interested, if we're asking stupid questions anyway, I would say, how long have you been sitting there in the dark? Like, has it been 10 minutes? Is it a couple of hours? Why in the dark? Did it matter? Did the lights need to be off? Did I need to think that you weren't there for a short period of time and then have you reveal you're there? Or would it have been just as effective if I came in the house, lights are on, like, why are the lights? Oh, there's an assassin. Okay. How did you get in here? Because I just need to know. I'm going to leave a note. I'll be dead, of course. I'm going to leave a note to my husband telling him, hey, by the way, we have a security breach. But I would ask him how long you've been sitting in the dark. What have you been doing? Because they never show that scene in the movies. They should have that scene. Where you just see the guy sitting there hour after hour like, oh man, they were supposed to be home 2 hours ago. Hope they didn't get in a car accident and die. Because I wanted to kill them. I get a $50,000 bonus. All right, well, let's see what's going on Instagram. I would watch TikTok, but the last thing I need as a hitman is to get all excited and happy and start rethinking my life choices. You know, one too many videos of people dancing and being happy, and next thing you know, I'm like, you know what? I don't think I want to be a hitman anymore. And then there's that awkward thing where I say, I'm done being a hitman. Thank you, TikTok. And as I'm walking out, the guy's walking in, and now there's the weird, hey, how did you get in here? No, don't worry about it. I was here to kill you, but now I've had a life-changing experience thanks to TikTok. What? They're going to ban TikTok in the United States. Oh, I can't have that. It's a good thing I came to the house to murder the inventor of TikTok. No, that doesn't make sense. Good thing I came here to murder all the congressmen who are trying to stop TikTok. I don't know. This whole thing is going off the rails. There is an intersection by me, which is my favorite intersection, to the point where I've made a little game out of it. I call it the Will They Honk game. So what it is it's an intersection with a left turn, but what they've done is the left turn arrow is not on the main lights. There's just three of those. What they've done stupidly is they put the arrow on the side light off to the side, which how many of us really ever look there? 0%. The only time you ever look at the side light is when the sun is blaring into your face and you have the visor down and now you got to see when the light turns green. Otherwise, nobody ever looks. So what happens every single time is somebody's waiting in the left lane, looking ahead at the lights like a normal person, and then the stupid arrow goes off over here, they don't see it, and then starts the honking. You motherfucker! How dare you not go right away? And I like to play a little game. I sit at the intersection and just say, how long before they honk? Will they honk? Will we get through a cycle where somebody notices the arrow? Or will we get through a cycle where they don't notice it, but nobody else honks either because they don't notice it? I don't know. I don't even know what this whole thing was about. I just wanted to say that it's funny. So just to double check, it is 2024, right? Okay. Why the hell are there still places that won't take credit cards? What is going on? In a world where almost all money is digital, to the point where I can just point my phone in the general direction of the cashier and I've paid for my bill. And yet, still places where I go in, signs all over, we don't take credit cards. And then as you go to pay, oh, you don't take credit cards, well, what do I do? Well, you can use the ATM over there. It's got a $4 surcharge. But under no circumstances will we allow you to buy our product easily. That's stupid. First off, if you're doing that, your product better be really good. And most of the time, they're not that good. They're okay. They're I-8. Or whatever. But they're certainly not good enough to force me to walk down the street to the bank because you don't even fucking want to put an ATM in your building. And now the reason that they do this is because they don't want to pay the charges associated with credit cards. Which is why you'll notice some places, they'll let you use credit cards, but they'll tell you up front, like, oh, we're going to charge you an extra dollar. We're going to pass our costs onto you, the customer, because that's a good business plan. But my question is, if you can't afford the 50 cents per transaction or whatever it is, what else are you skimping on? Welcome to our burrito place. We could use beef, but rats are free. Yeah. We could throw out those moldy tortillas, but if we just burn them, nobody notices. So you're so cheap, you can't even pay the fucking 50 cent surcharge, but I'm supposed to believe that you're giving me a top quality product? I don't think so. So I'm going to tell you what my all-time favorite fast food restaurant is of all time, and that is Chick-fil-A. And it has nothing to do with their food. I've never even eaten at a Chick-fil-A. I'm sure it's good. The reason that I love Chick-fil-A the most is because they close on Sundays. I'm not religious. That's not the reason. I'm not like, good for you for honoring God. No, I don't care. I love it because corporations are the greediest things on the planet. If they were humans, they are the equivalent of Hitler. They make Hitler look laughable, the evil that exists in corporations. So all they want to do is make money, and they're all about the trickery, and they'll do anything to make money. And yet, here's a corporation that is huge across the country, possibly the world, who voluntarily loses all that money on Sunday just to honor God. Like, I'll say this, whoever owns Chick-fil-A has not given up all his shares. You know, the story you hear way too often where the guy who founded Apple gets run out of his own company because he gave up too many shares to a bunch of greedy stockholders who just got rid of him because they weren't making enough money. Ah, we don't want billions. We want billions, not millions. Let's get rid of the guy who started this whole thing and then brought us in on it. We don't even have any reason really to be here. But anyway, let's get rid of him. Because whoever is running Chick-fil-A, if he or she or whomever it is, did not have full control of the company, they'd be gone. Stockholders would have got rid of them long ago. Like, what? You're closing on Sundays? You know how many billions of dollars you're leaving on the table for God? Oh, we can't stand for that. Let's get this guy out. Get this. What? We can't? We can't get him out? He was smart enough not to put himself in that position. Fuck. That's why I like it. Because as a corporation, to do that, it says a little something. Now, I'm sure if I dig deep, there's some nefarious shit going on in that corporation, as in every single corporation. So where they're losing billions of dollars to close on Sunday, I'm sure they're cutting corners other places and mistreating employees and all sorts of fun stuff that corporations like to do to make that extra buck back. But still, of all the corporations, that's my favorite just because they close on Sunday. Hey, how you doing? What? I can't hear you. Let's try that again. Hey, how you doing? What? I can't hear you. Come on. No, let's really get it going. How are you doing? Anyway, that's what I hate, what I just did. I've worked in corporations most of my life, and that's the move they always do. I don't know who fucking told them to do it, but they'll force you to go to a mandatory meeting, and then, right first out of the gate, like, hey, everybody, I know I forced you guys to come here on a Sunday when you could be hanging out with your family and friends and bowling and golfing and all sorts of fun things, pool, video games. Anyway, I know I forced you to come here, but how you doing? And everybody, of course, just goes, how do you fucking think we're doing? But, oh, boy, they ain't taking that. They ain't taking that. The asshole they hired for whatever bullshit they're forcing you to come here for has to follow up with, hey, I can't hear you. Come on, we can do better than that. And then, you know, the lemmings will go, yeah, we're happy to be here. I never do, never. gun to my head, I am not joining in that chant. I can't hear you. Come on. Even if he pointed me out. Hey, David Dravenek, I don't see you. I can't hear you. And I would go, well, then fuck off. Good. Did you hear that? Because I'm not being a part of your stupidity. You know, unless you're stupid, that none of us want to be here. So why are you trying to make us pretend like we're enthusiastic about the thing we clearly hate? There's maybe one person here who wants to be here, and they'll be the asshole who asks a bunch of questions after you've wrapped it up already, keeps us here an extra 10 fucking minutes. Everyone else hates your guts. So stop trying to be funny and stop trying to get us to pretend like we are enjoying ourselves. Because we're not. So why don't you fucking quit it? I remember one time I was at a comedy club and one of my jokes was going to be sort of a mockery of the, hey, I can't hear you. And before I had a chance to do my set, the owner of the club came up and said, how we doing? I can't hear you. And I was like, well, that joke isn't going to work. Why am I working at this fucking club if that's the owner? Yeah, the club's out of business now. Of course it is.